Our second reading this morning is from Acts chapter 4, verses 5 through 12. Listen for the word of God. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners, Peter and John, stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick, and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to you, to all of you, and to all the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this, your word. Help us to hear your word and to grow through it. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The internet is always having some random fights about something, getting up in arms. This week, the fascinating story came from a page called Birds and Beaks Rescue and Rehab. It's in Battle Creek, Michigan. What happened was a guy named Carl sent an email to Birds and Beaks Rescue and Rehab saying, "Listen, I have some questions. I'm not very good at email. Could I call someone? I want to adopt a bird, but I'm not really sure about this." Has anybody else seen this? Oh, you look up Birds and Beaks on Facebook. It's such drama. Anyway, so the person replied, "So we don't really have time for phone calls, but you can submit an application on our website. And we'll talk to you then." At 3 a.m, Carl sent back a lengthy, angry reply asking questions like, "Did you even read my email, or is this sort of a canned response? I said I don't want to talk to people." Carl was annoyed. And this is the part that the Birds and Beaks person thought might get them in trouble. They sent back a reply about yay long, and they said, "We're going to get a negative review in a little bit, and I wanted you to see the whole correspondence, and if you look it up, you can see it." And Birds and Beaks said, "Look, there are 700 heartbeats that I am taking care of right now. There are 7 of us here. We don't have time to do an email to every single person who has questions." And yeah, I think it's a woman, was pretty mad at Carl. Not because he wanted to ask questions, and then the questions that he asked became progressively more demanding. Does that sound familiar? Maybe a little bit like the conversation with Peter and John there? By whose power, by what authority are you doing these things? And Peter and John just come out swinging. Birds and Beaks, by the way, has raised, I think, upwards of $20,000 just from sharing the story about Carl. So I'm going to give you a brief outline. This is, I think, yeah, there it is. We're talking about threatening demands, about the Sanhedrin asking threat-centered questions, briefly about preparation for ministry in the Presbyterian Church. It's fine. It won't be complicated or in-depth. talk a little bit about a dental problem. We'll ask, what if the Sanhedrin's question had been one of holy curiosity? Drop in a few caveats. Mention some political things we might get curious about, and other questions that holy curiosity might ask, and I'll wrap up with a little bit of Ted Lasso. Sound good? So the Sanhedrin, they ask that question. They say, by what power or by whose authority do you do these things? There's more than one way they might have asked. So let's assume that they feel threatened by Peter and John. How might they ask? By whose power are you doing this? By what authority are you doing this? How does that feel? Feels threatening. So they come back. The apostles come out swinging. And this hostility builds as they go back and forth, just like it did with Birds and Beaks. It kept going from there. Carl kept emailing them back and commenting, and the angrier he got, the more people donated. But it's important to remember, I'm just dropping this in there, that there, right before this, there are 5,000 specifically Jewish people who've converted to following Jesus, who've been baptized, and then Jewish leaders have them arrested. So it's not, you know, it's not the Jewish people are bad. There's 5,000 Jewish people just joined. But the question is, what are the Sanhedrin afraid of? Why are they so nervous about Peter and John? For one thing, they are the status quo, and Peter and John are threats to the way things are. They have power, and what if everybody just decides to start following Peter and John? I kind of get, though, a little bit, as part of the religious status quo now, I kind of get where they're coming from. We've got Peter and John practicing religious leadership without a license. I've seen that go badly. When I was in seminary, I've looked back on interactions that I've had with pastors, and I've thought to myself, you know, if there was a really good discernment process in place where qualified people either trained them or screened them, those people either would not have been pastors or they would have known much better. I had to take a psychiatric evaluation as part of my discernment process. There's a few people I know who are pastors who I go, if you'd had a psych eval, you would not be a pastor. So I've seen the harm that comes from not having a good process. There's a Bible content exam and a theology exam and a polity exam, and I've seen that. I'm concerned about sort of a deprofessionalization, so you end up with folks who don't know any theology or Bible, and they end up preaching. Perhaps you've seen these people on TV. But the other thing is, though, I've also seen the harm that a well-intentioned process, like the one I went through, can cause harm. And it can prevent people who are well-qualified from becoming pastors, or it can become a very difficult obstacle that gets in their way. And it's not a fail-safe procedure. Stuff still goes wrong. People will go all the way through the process and they'll end up using their credentials to bully and take advantage of people. If you want a good example, look up what preachers with doctorates in the American South said about enslaving people. Preachers with doctorates, mind you. And the other thing is, sometimes you do have this sense of being threatened, that you ask good questions. A few months ago, Ryan went to the dentist and they said he had some cavities, so they sent him to a pediatric dentist who said he actually had a lot of cavities and needed lots and lots of dental work plus something else, and I got very nervous and I had this sense of feeling threatened. And so I asked some questions. I called a different dentist in South Bend and they took us in to see him, and it ended up costing thousands of dollars less with less unnecessary work. So questions can be good, even questions that come from a place of feeling threatened. But I did use that curiosity. I took it to someone else. I didn't just shut down and say, they're wrong, and ask questions like, why are you wrong? With Kristen's help and support, I found wise people to ask other questions to. But I want to flip. What if the Sanhedrin had come with their question with holy curiosity? What if instead of asking, by what power or what authority do you do these things, they came with a different question and said, by what power do you do these things? By what authority are you doing these things? That feels different, doesn't it? They want to know. They don't want to tell you, this is why you're wrong. You ever have somebody ask you a question that you know they don't want the answer to? What do you think gives you the right to do that? Is that kind of question. It's not a holy curiosity question. There's a Japanese concept, I'm going to probably butcher the pronunciation, Shoshin. It's the beginner's mindset, the idea that you come as though you don't know and you're curious to learn and grow. Comments on social media posts, perhaps you've been there, are almost universally profoundly uncurious. And maybe that's fair. We humans are good at pattern recognition. That's one of our gifts. We don't have to be curious about every single thing, or we'd never get anything done. That allows us to get curious about things that we're curious about. And it's hard, though. It's hard to arrive and stay in a place of curiosity. Not artificial curiosity, not what gives you the right to do that, but of actual wondering and curiosity. We are now at political things we might get curious about. If we maybe turn on the TV and we see people who are protesting, blocking traffic, risking being arrested for it, why are they doing that? And we might come to that with a preconceived assumption that, well, they're doing it because they're dumb. Well, we haven't learned anything there. What about Donald Trump is speaking to people who support him? Asking our neighbors who have the signs in their yard, not just asking other thought leaders, what is their real reason? You know, thought leaders who think that other people are wrong. Why do black people often not feel safe around the police? Again, asking the people who are saying this rather than thought leaders on whichever side we're on, rather than finding a news interview where they found the dumbest person they could possibly find and ask them the question. Granted, those are funny. Why do my neighbors have a sign in support of a politician who sent out a mailer framing himself as a mean man who doesn't know anything about what he could actually do in the office that he's running for? What about him is appealing? This is a sermon for me, too, because I haven't asked them. But to assume good faith, to start with the assumption that someone's not just making the decisions they're making because I want to be mean, or I would like to personally participate in the destruction of America. You know anybody who would like to personally participate in the destruction of America? Yeah, me neither. I mean, there probably are people, but most of them don't live here. Other questions that holy curiosity might ask. I went to my conference and they asked, this was a good one, what channels does God play on for you? What channels does God play on for you? And that might be a question for yourself, a question you could ask someone else, or even just questions of genuine curiosity. Another one that came up was, what's saving your life right now? Why are you still doing this? Someone asked me a while ago, what keeps you being a pastor? And I had to think about it. I think I've mentioned this before because it had never really occurred to me. Which brings us to Ted Lasso. I haven't seen Ted Lasso. I know a lot of people who like it, and one day we will get Apple TV and watch that show. But it's about a show about an American football coach from Kansas who gets hired by a British woman to coach a football team. What we would consider soccer, but because it crosses over, because of the way that works. They're like, I hired a football coach from America. And she wanted her husband's team to lose. So Ted makes a bet with her boss's ex-husband over a game of darts. He says, Ted says, after her boss's husband, or his boss's husband underestimates him, he says, guys have underestimated me my entire life, and for years I never understood why. It really used to bother me. But then one day I was driving my little boy to school and I saw a quote by Walt Whitman. It was painted on the wall and it said, be curious, not judgmental. I like that. At which point he threw a triple 20. So I get back in the car and I'm driving to work and all of a sudden it hits me. All them fellas that used to belittle me, not a single one of them was curious. You know, they thought they had everything figured out, so they judged everything and they judged everyone, and I realized that they're underestimating me. Who I was had nothing to do with it. Because if they were curious, they would have asked questions. Questions like, have you played a lot of darts, Ted? At which point he throws a triple 20. To which I would have answered, yes, sir. Every Sunday afternoon at the sports bar with my father from age 10 till I was 16 when he passed away. Barbecue sauce. At which point he threw a triple bullseye to win. Holy curiosity. What are we missing in our world and in our neighbors by not being curious? Let's pray. Gracious God, open our hearts to curiosity, to seek for not simply information, but understanding. Help us to grow in love for our neighbors and for you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.